I want to talk to you this morning about the gospel. I just want to share the gospel with you. And why is the story of Jesus such good news? You know, that's what gospel means, right? The message of the gospel, the word gospel, literally, it means good news. So what is the gospel? It's the good news about Jesus. It's the good news about his life. It's the good news about his death. It's the good news about his resurrection. It's the good news about his return. And it is, all of it is such good news. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about those things this morning. Today, right, millions of people literally are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus all over the world today. Millions of people are doing that. And I think, why? Why? Why is it that every resurrection Sunday, whenever that falls in the year, that people all over the world gather and they celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive? And the reason we do is because it's true. It's actually real. Jesus really is alive, and it's really wonderful news, and the gospel actually works. So in Mark 16:15, the good news about his Jesus and his death, his resurrection, his return, is so important that he said to his disciples, he said, go into all the world, everybody say all the world, and preach the good news. Preach the good news to all of creation. Like every single person needs to hear this good news that I'm going to share with you this morning. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to share the good news with you, and I want you to go and share it with somebody else this week. Does that sound good? What if today, what if we just did this? What if each of us made it our goal today, five people that we meet, and just say, Jesus is alive. That's all you have to say. Just say that. And then see what happens. Just that, I bet you'll get into further conversations. Jesus is alive. Be happy about it. Say it to somebody. Whoever believes this good message, Jesus said, whoever believes the good news and is baptized, which Anna's doing today, will be saved. And whoever does not believe this good news about Jesus, I'm about to share with you, whoever does not believe it will be condemned. Meaning, we're already condemned because of our sin. We're separated from God. And we'll stay that way. The good news is that we can go from condemnation to life and be forgiven and have a relationship and be restored to God. So let me tell you the good news. You guys ready? I left you room on your notes to draw this illustration I'm going to draw. Okay? So you want to start off, draw three circles. Like this. Okay. So I'm going to, just an illustration, just to tell the story, the good news of the gospel. So if you look around the world today, of course, people are celebrating the gospel, right? The resurrection of Jesus. But you know what you really see in the world today? A whole lot more of this. The world is filled with brokenness. Filled with brokenness. Because right now, somewhere in the world, somebody's being raped. Somebody's being stolen from. For all the millions of people that are worshiping Jesus this morning, right now, there's probably just as many, if not more, who are literally using his name as a curse word. Today, there's people with broken hearts. There's children being abused today. Today, just in America alone, there'll probably be over 4,000 babies aborted, is what statistics say. That means murdered in the womb. Okay? Today, earthquakes, natural disasters of all kinds, they're happening around the world. Wars, violence, ISIS, terrorism, corruption, poverty. People are dying from starvation. There's just brokenness everywhere. Addictions to drugs and alcohol and pornography. And you guys with me? Premature death, babies dying young before they've lived the full life. The world is filled with brokenness. But when God first made the world, he didn't make it this way. Amen? He didn't make it broken. When he first made the world, it was made according to God's perfect design. Everything was perfect. Nothing was broken. Human beings had this very close relationship with God. They served him as their Lord. They did what he said, okay? They lived in fellowship with him. They heard his voice. They looked at him, and they talked in conversations with God. Not just say something and wait and wait. Is he hearing me? Is he listening? Like in a conversation, like you would with a human being. They talk, he would talk back. And because of that, they lived in his affection and his love. And everything, and they loved each other. The love from God in them overflowed, and there was harmony among all people. Even between the animals, there was harmony. And between animals and people, there was harmony. And they lived in a garden paradise, and everything they put their hand to prospered and flourished and was blessed. It was absolutely beautiful everywhere. There was no disease, no sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no death whatsoever. Nobody died. Nobody even got sick. It was a perfect world. This is God's plan for the human beings and for the earth. You guys with me? So how did we get from here, where we started, to where we are today? Anybody have a guess? Sin. Yeah, you're right. Good job. Sin. And sin is just a word. This is what it means. It means to disobey God. When you talk about, oh, I've sinned. There's a million ways to disobey God, and we call it sin. You could sexual immorality, lying, theft, pride, all these kind of things, but all of them boil down to one thing. God says this, and we do different. We disobey, okay? And there's a million ways to do it, but we all seem to find a way to do it, don't we? Yeah? And so what happened, though, is when people disobeyed God, their relationship with God was broken. And when our relationship with the Creator was broken, the one who is the source of all life was broken, death came into the world. Hostility came into the world between our brokenness, came into our relationships with each other, on and on and on. And we spiraled to where we are today. And that's where we are. But God looks at us in this condition. He looks at the whole world. And he actually feels compassion for us. You know, he doesn't just like, these people are total losers. I can't stand these people. They're terrible. I gave them everything perfect. I set them up with the ultimate setup. I mean, I put them in the greatest place. They had everything going for them. I told them not to disobey me and this would happen, but they did it anyway. And they just keep doing it. I'm done with these guys. You know what he actually feels? He feels compassion. He's like, I want to help you to get out of brokenness and back into the way I designed you. And I want the whole earth. I want to redeem the whole thing and every person in the planet. So this is God's plan to do it. He sent his son, Jesus. Okay? Jesus is God's son. He's always lived. He came from heaven down to earth. Okay? And he is God. He became a human being. And he lived a perfect life according to God's design. Jesus lived a perfect life. Just say the life of Jesus. Good job. Life, okay? Finally, he died on the cross at the end of his life. I'm going to talk about each of these things in a little bit, these four things. So he lived, and then he died. And then he rose from the dead on the third day, right? That's what we're celebrating today all over the world. You guys writing this down? Okay, good. He rose from the dead on the third day. He ascended back to heaven. He's alive right now. He's in a physical body right now. He's breathing right now. Oxygen is in his lungs. I mean, he's a human being. He's alive, really alive, forever. He's not a ghost. He's alive. He's sitting there. He's not on the earth. He's in heaven. So he rose from the dead. But one day, he's coming back from heaven and he's coming to the earth. He's going to return. We're going to talk about that too. And all of this is good news. This is what he says to us. He says, listen, if you will turn away from your sin. In other words, stop doing this stuff that keeps getting you broken. Like, just stop it. Like, you drop this glass and I put it all back together again, and then you drop it again, and I put it back together again, and you drop it again. He's like, stop. It's like, for real. Just quit doing that stuff. It's going to, you know what happens, okay? I can tell you, if you drop it, it's going to break. That's what's going to happen. So stop doing this, okay? He's like, stop sinning. Turn away from disobeying God and start setting your heart from now on. I'm going to find out what you say. I'm doing things your way. I'm going to live for God. So turn from your sin and then follow Jesus. So we turn from our sin, and this is the path out of brokenness. As we turn from our sin, and we follow Jesus. What does that mean? We follow his teachings, we obey his commands, right? We do what we should have done in the first place. That's what we do. But not only that, following him, we follow his example. We live how he lived, okay? So we follow his commands, we follow his teachings, we follow his example, we live as Jesus lived, and then this is the path out of brokenness, and this is what God says. He says, if you'll do that, I will forgive your sin. That's a big deal. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. I'll forgive your sin. It gets better. I will adopt you into my family. I'll adopt you into my family. You'll be my son and my daughter, okay? And then he says this, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He will, that's God. He will come and live inside of you. You know what happens there? Our relationship with God is being restored. That's what's happening. Then you have this relationship. God is in you. You talk to him. You feel his love. He talks back to you. The relationship with God is restored. And then what happens is the process of restoration has begun. Because your sins are forgiven. You're son or daughter of God. You have a relationship with God again. You're following him and he's helping you do it. And the process of restoring your life begins. He heals your heart. Jesse talked about, he's like, okay, Jesus, I'll follow you. And then he's delivered from drug addiction. All the brokenness in his life begins to get healed up. The immorality, the on and on and on. All that kind of stuff. And it looks different for each one of us, but God heals us and he makes us whole again. And God restores us back to God's perfect design. The good news is that one day, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he will complete the restoration process that he started in you, okay? Your physical body, you'll be physically resurrected, okay? But not only that, he's going to do this for the entire planet. He's going to take the whole planet, all of creation, and restore us back to his perfect design. And we're going to live with him in loving relationship with him, in loving relationship with each other, in wholeness, in health, in prosperity, in blessing, in an earth that's like a garden paradise. The whole earth, the planet will be restored, and we'll live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? So that's a quick little illustration about sharing the good news of what Jesus did. So now I just want to go down into four things. The good news about Jesus. Why is it good news, number one, that Jesus lived? First of all, he actually lived. That's a big deal. He's not a legend. You know, he's not a legend. He's not, you know how things like myths, how they start out and they grow over time, especially if they get passed on from generation. He's not a Chuck Norris joke, in other words. You guys know the Chuck Norris jokes, right? You know, Chuck Norris is just a guy who's like really good at karate. or whatever it is, you know, lots of black belts to the highest degree in a lot of different martial arts stuff. So he's really good. And of course, he was on TV for a while. And so now all these legends have grown. Like, he's the toughest, most powerful fighter that's ever lived. You know, he's the strongest, most invincible human being. He's not. He's actually alive right now. He's a Christian, I've heard. He's just a normal human being like you and me, though. He's going to die one day just like us. You know what I mean? He's not bulletproof. He's not Superman. But there's these he's become a legend in American culture, mostly because of the jokes. You want to hear some? Okay. So there's, oh man, what are they? Okay, so one day actually what happened was Chuck Norris got bit by a cobra. And after what happened is after 5 days of excruciating pain, the cobra died. Okay. And Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down when he does it. I apologize for this one in advance, but it's actually my newest favorite one. Chuck Norris and Superman got in a fight, and the loser had to wear his underwear on the outside of his pajamas. So there's the Chuck Norris jokes. You know, it's like these legends of he's so awesome. But, you know, they're not really true. He's just the guy. That is not the case with Jesus. You hear these stories in the Bible about him raising the dead. Like, no matter what demon he comes up against, they lose resoundingly, instantly, every single time. And even when there's like thousands of them and one guy, he says a word, leave. They don't even resist. They're just like, please don't send us to the abyss before our time. Can we go into those pigs? He's like, okay, instantly. They go out. He heals the sick. Like every sickness and every disease imaginable, he just, with a word, he speaks it. And they don't even have to be there in the room with him. I mean, there's times that people would come up to him and say, would you come and help my daughter? You know, she has a demon. She's tormented by this demon. And then he's like, man, you have great faith. It's done. Never even goes and sees her daughter. And it says at that moment, wherever her daughter was, in a different location, the demon left her. I mean, this guy has such power and such authority. And this isn't myth. This isn't legend. All these stories are literal. They're true. And God, he does the same things for us today. So the good news about Jesus' life is mentioned. It's summed up really well in Acts chapter 10, 37 through 38. Peter said, you know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. Listen, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. That's good news. Why? Because Jesus' life teaches us not just that God is powerful, we already know that. Not just that God can help us in our mess if he wanted to. It teaches us he wants to. He wants to heal us. He cares about us. I remember reading a testimony of these Muslims, of a Muslim woman. And it was in another country where it was just Islam everywhere. And there was hardly any Christianity at all. But there were some believers who came there, and they had this free medical clinic for the poor and the sick, because they didn't have access to medicines and things like that. And this Muslim lady got so desperate, even though it was great shame, and it was like Muslims never associate with Christians ever. And so, but she's like, I'm desperate. I have to get medicine for my children. So she goes to this clinic, and she was like, they're so kind. All the people who work there are so kind. It just struck her, why are they so kind? And then the fact that, she's like, why do you guys work so hard, and why do you do this, like, for free? You come here, and you care for our bodies, and you give us medicines, and you pray for us. And it's like, what is this? And it's like, you know what this tells me about your God, Jesus? This tells me that he must care about people. He must care about people. And she was blown away, because her concept of a God, you know, she's it was an Islamic tradition. Her concept of a god is like, he is mad, he's far away, and very few people can ever be good enough to get to him. And it's like, you better not fall short, you're a loser, all this kind of stuff. And then she just gets to the point where she's like, man, Jesus is God, then that means God actually loves us. He actually cares about us, and he has the ability to do something about all of our problems, including the biggest one, which is our sin problem, from which all the other problems stem. Does that make sense? It's the good life, the good news about Jesus' life. God loves us, he cares about us, he has power to help us. So what about number two? Why is it good news that Jesus died? It's good news that Jesus died. I want to say this. He actually died. He wasn't in a coma. He wasn't just knocked unconscious. He was completely dead. Like, the Bible emphasizes he was buried even. I mean, this guy was gone. Totally dead. He died on a cross. Why is that good news? We usually don't think of people dying and say, well, that's great news. But yet we do about Jesus, don't we? All over the world today, we're talking about, it's such good news, Jesus died. Why is it good news? It's because Jesus died willingly for our sins so that we can be forgiven and our relationship with God can be restored. See, this is what we want to do. This is what people try to do. They're in brokenness. Okay? They're in brokenness, and everybody hates brokenness. We're like, I want out of this. I don't want to die. I want to live forever. You know, I don't want to be in this bondage. I don't like the pain that I'm experiencing. And everybody's trying to find ways out of this, but nothing works. But what times we do is like, how can I get back to God's, you know, I want to live forever. I just want harmony in all my relationships. You know, I want to be healthy. I want prosperity. I don't want to be poor. You guys with me? I mean, everybody, you know, wants that and seeks that, and they think they can just go directly back to God, but they can't because they've committed a crime that they can't undo. If somebody commits a murder and afterward they feel bad about it, oh, I committed a crime. I'm sorry. I just want to go back to the way things were before I did this. Can we just pretend like that didn't happen? Sorry. It did happen. Somebody's dead, and there's nothing you can do to bring them back again. Well, let's pick a different crime. Let's say stealing, right? Let's say you stole something, and then you feel guilty. Oh, I hate this. Okay, I just want to go back and pretend like that didn't happen. I want to go back to the way things were before I did this. I feel bad about what I did. And let's just say you had the money and you could return it all. I'll return it all, and then can I just be forgiven and pretend like that didn't happen? Except, you know what? Even if you return all of the money, you can't fix the anxiety and the stress and the pain that person went through when they found out their house was broken into. And now when they go to sleep at night, they're wondering, is somebody going to break in my house? And they're dealing with fear and anxiety. There's a whole bunch of crud that you released into somebody's life that you can't fix. You know, crimes get committed and penalties are the result. Negative consequences are the result. Every time we disobey God, it's a crime against heaven. It is a crime against heaven. I mean, you look at even kingdoms in this earth, what happens when there's an absolute ruler in a nation, a king or a queen in some instances? What happens when the king says, this is what we're going to do, and somebody doesn't do it? It's a crime. Doesn't matter what it is, if the king said it and you disobey that, you are guilty. And all of us are guilty before God. We're corrupted in our heart because of the influence of sin. It's like once you get a taste for it for the first time, you get an appetite for it. That's how sin is. Once you do it, you cross that line, then all of a sudden you develop a craving for it. And you want more, and you do it again, and you do it again. Like, you can't undo it. Nobody can go from brokenness back to God's design without first going through Jesus. Because his blood was shed on the cross, okay, to not only pay our death penalty that we deserve, because God is just. But it also to cleanse our consciences of the effects of sin and from the guilt and the shame that is associated with it. To reset our appetites so that we crave what is good again instead of craving that which is evil. Is that making sense? Okay. The good news about Jesus' death is that he took our sins on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Another way to illustrate it is this. All the problems began when our relationship with God was broken. How did it break? Sin. So right now, I want a relationship with God again. I want to go back to him. Okay? But there's a problem. There's a wall. There's this impenetrable barrier between you and God, and it's called your sin. And there's nothing you can do. You can't get through it. You can't get over it, underneath it, around it. It's just impossible to get through. So when Jesus died on the cross, he did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He says, I am taking your sins and I'm removing them. So now what's there left between you and God? There's no barrier. The only thing separating, keeping you from reunion is your decision to leave your sin and go back to him. Number three, why is it good news that Jesus rose from the dead? Again, first of all, he really did rise from the dead. He's literally alive right now in a flesh and blood body. There's actually blood. He has a DNA. There's actually blood in his veins that's flowing right now. His heart, he has a heart that's beating. It's pumping just like yours. He has physical ears that can listen. He has a voice that talks. He's alive in a physical body. He's not a ghost. He's not a disembodied spirit. He's not kind of like he lives spiritually, but not really all the way alive, which is physical if you're a human being. It's more than just spiritual. God made us to be in a physical body. He's alive right now in heaven, in a physical body. He's fully alive. He's not a ghost. He's not a myth. He's not a vision. He's not like I just come and I randomly appear to somebody. He actually came to his disciples, and what did he say? He's like, touch me. Go ahead. Come on. Touch me right now. Touch my hands. Yeah, look, he's still got the holes from when the nails were. He's like, put your hand in the hole. I mean, to me, that's gross. To me, I'm like, you know, at your word, Lord, whatever you say, but I'll just give you a hug instead. How about that? But he went out of his way. He wanted people to know, I am alive. I'm here. I'm fully back from the dead. You imagine if you had a relative that died, somebody you loved, and you heard, they're alive. And they just appear to you in a vision at night. That's not alive. That's not like it was before. That's not like you sitting down, having a meal with them, drinking coffee, joking and laughing and having a conversation and being able to hug them and give them high fives and throw the ball with them. You guys with me? It's like they're just like an illusion or something. Jesus isn't an illusion. He's alive for real. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you. This wasn't in my notes originally, but it just... During prayer earlier, I felt the anointing to preach come on me. And I was stirred up. And I'm just going to read these. I want to talk about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what the Apostle Paul said. You guys ready? For what I received, this is in verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And he's going to summarize the gospel message. Ready? That Christ died for our sins. Covered that, right? According to the scriptures. That he was buried. In other words, he was totally dead. Not a coma. He wasn't just unconscious. He was dead and buried. Then he says that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that, listen to this now. This is a literal testimony, no exaggeration. This actually happened. After he was raised from the dead, he appeared to Peter, it says. Of course, we know he also appeared to the women, right, who were at the tomb, or to one of them, Mary. And then he says he appeared to the 12. So the 12 disciples, he appeared to Peter, but then it says he appeared to the 12, all 12 of them. Physically, in a physical body, he was alive, and he showed himself to them. But then he appeared. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. You ever think about that? He was like, I'm going to leave no doubt. I am alive. Go ahead, touch me. Here, give me some of that fish. I'm going to eat with you. You eat in a physical body. You guys with me? He walked with people and had conversations on the road to Emmaus. He had a conversation with those guys. And they didn't even know it was him at first because he looked just like every other human being. He was in a physical body. You guys with me? He appeared to more than 500 people all at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, Paul's, at the time he wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, it was only, I don't know, 30 or 40 years, whatever it is, after Jesus was risen from the dead. He's like, these 500 people are still alive. If you go, you can find them right now, and they'll tell you. They're eyewitnesses, just like Peter and just like the other 12. They all saw him. And then Paul said, then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, all of them, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. And he's like, Paul says, I physically saw the Lord. He appeared to me. Like I had a flesh and blood conversation with the Lord. The point is this, guys, he's really alive. He's really alive. Here's what I think. I think a lot of times this stuff to believers who are just casual about these things, we grew up hearing these things from the time we're kids, and these things become like nice stories. God forbid that that's all they're reduced to. Just a nice story. We high-five each other and give each other eggs on Easter. Keep your Cadbury eggs. I want the real gift of Easter. I want the spirit of resurrection that raised him from the dead inside of me. That's what I want. I want to hear the voice of God like Adam and Eve heard the voice of God. That's what I want. I want to talk to him. I want to know him just like James and Peter and Paul and Mary and those 500 people that he appeared to. I want a relationship with God. I want the real thing. You tell me he's alive? It's not a story. It's not just a story. It's something I need to have. I need to possess. I want to touch it. I want to experience it. How do I know? How do I really know that I'll actually be physically raised from the dead when Jesus returns after I die, that I'll physically have a body? How do you know that? Because have you ever seen somebody rise from the dead? Very few of us have. Although God does it sometimes. So how do you really know that's true? I'll tell you how. That's what the Bible says. Resurrection starts in your spirit when you're born again. It continues, eternal life, it continues in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, and it works its way through your relationships and your life as you begin to conform your thinking and ways of living to conform to the Word of God. And then you see his life and his blessing manifest in the different areas of your life. You get free from the drugs. You get free from the addictions. You guys with me? And finally, when you're seeing those things happening in your life and you're experiencing that real, tangible relationship with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know, the Bible says, he is a deposit guaranteeing the rest of your inheritance, which will come when Jesus returns, which includes the physical resurrection. Let me explain it like this. How many of you know human beings were made up of three parts? How many of you know you're more than a body? You're more than a body. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are spiritual beings made in the image of God. We were created to live forever. There's nothing you can do that will ever cause yourself to cease to exist. You can commit suicide, and you may physically die, but you're still alive. Death isn't an end, it's a doorway through which you enter into eternal existence. In heaven or hell? Only two options. We're spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is our mind, it's our thought life, it's our personality. How many of you know everybody's got a different personality? You know, some people, they have quirky sense of humor. Some of them have a dry sense of humor. Some of them have no sense of humor. You know, there's just all kinds of different personalities. And there's intellects and there's emotions. You know, people are different emotionally, the way they relate. Some people are just super happy and they love to laugh. And they just light up a room when they walk into it. Other people, they're just like, they're intense and they're focused. Or, you know, it's just different personalities. But God made us all unique. We all are spiritual beings with a personality. We have emotions. We have a mind. We have a will. What does that mean? That means I can choose what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. I can choose what I do with my life. I'm not a robot. None of us are robots. God created us not to be robots. He gave us personalities. We're all unique, and we all have a will. We have the will to choose to serve him or to disobey him. And then for eternity, we get the consequence of the way we chose to live. But we're not just a spirit and a soul. We're what? We're physical. We have bodies. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. They're in the Garden of Eden. They're healthy. They're whole. The life and the blessing of God is their physical bodies, perfect health. It's in their soul, their relationships, their personalities. Everything is pure. It's holy. It's blessed. It's happy. It's joyful. Peace. No anxiety. And they're because spiritually they're connected to God. Right? So they disobey God, and what's the first thing? God says, if you disobey me, when you eat the fruit of this tree, you will surely what? What? Okay, so here, let me ask you this. They eat the fruit of the tree, and they live hundreds of years afterward. Wait a minute, did God lie? He said, you will surely die as soon as you eat the fruit of that tree. So how did that, what did that look like? Here's what happened. Death, when it came into the human race, it started in the spirit when their relationship with God was broken. If he's the power source, if he's the source of life, what happens to your cell phone when you unplug it from the wall? The battery starts going out. And it's only a matter of however many hours before it doesn't work anymore. You guys with me? When we got unplugged from our relationship with God, we died spiritually. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. Their relationship with God was broken. And then the death that started spiritually when they were disconnected from God began working its way in everything they touched, in their personalities. All of a sudden, they felt shame for the first time. All of a sudden, they felt envy. All of a sudden, they're blaming each other for different things. And there's hostility and there's friction and fighting between people. And then one generation later, their own children, there's murder. One brother murders another one. And the death works its way through our soul. And then what happens? Eventually, for them, hundreds of years later, death's work climaxed in killing their physical body. Is this making sense? So then how does eternal life, if that's how the process by which we were broken, it's the same exact process by which eternal life is restored to us. We believe on Jesus, and we turn from our sin, and we choose to follow him, and he forgives our sin, and he gives us eternal life. Life starts in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, and we come alive to God again, and we love him, and we have a heart that does his will, then it works its way through our sanctification, you know, as we adjust our thinking to agree with God, we're transformed by the renewing of our what? By the renewing of our minds. And his life begins to work its way through our soul. And we set our will to do his will again. And then eventually, Jesus returns, and it climaxes in a physical resurrection. Why is it good news that Jesus rose from the dead? Because the Bible says he's the first fruits of the rest of us who follow him. He has a physical body. You know what that means? Just like we're going to be resurrected just like him. That means one day when we're raised from the dead, Jesus will return, the dead in Christ will rise, and our bodies will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And we will, immortal bodies, better than Chuck Norris. Only this is for real. I'm joking, but this is for real. This is literal. We're going to have real bodies. We're going to eat food. We're going to have teeth, taste buds, breathe. We'll be able to run, dance, jump, play baseball, which I'm excited about. I mean, this is literal. We'll do all these things that we can do now. We'll be able to do only without pain, without injury, without experiencing hunger, without experiencing fatigue. Well, that's going to be awesome. I get tired, it feels like, a lot now. I'm 41. But I can already feel the difference from my 20s. And I'm like, man, what in the world is going on? It's so much harder to keep the weight off. I mean, it's not fair. It just, things change. But you know what? Resurrected bodies, this is temporary. I'm getting a new body, and so are you. It's literal. That's why it's good news that Jesus rose from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, why do we bother serving him? That's what Paul says. If you read the rest of 1 Corinthians 15, he's like, because some people, he was writing it to them, because some false teachers had been like, well, they had reduced the gospel. And this is what human beings do when they don't have faith. We strip away the supernatural parts that are hard to believe. And we'd reduce the gospel message to like this nice, makes you feel good self-help message. We say, Jesus was a good man. God cares about you. He'll help you out. Oh, good. That comforts me and makes me feel good. But there's no power. If there's no power to actually change me, and I'm still going to die, and what's the point? That's what Paul said. I mean, Paul's like, the resurrection's real. We're going to live forever. He told me to preach the gospel. I'm going to do it. What? I mean, he's beheaded. He was beaten, constantly beaten, because he was on assignment. He's going to obey God no matter what, even if it's difficult. But you know what he kept saying? He's like, hey, kill me. I'm going to come back to life, and I'll get my reward for being obedient in this life. I'm living forever. I'll have you chop off my head. I'm getting another body anyway. It's going to be fully intact, fully healthy, fully alive. I am invincible as long as I do the will of God. Do you understand? I am invincible as long as I'm doing the will of God. And this hope of the resurrection, he's like, guys, if there's no resurrection, we're to be pitied among all people. He says, then we Christians are the most pathetic people on the planet. Because this is in the days of the Roman Empire. They're being beheaded. They're being persecuted all over the Roman world. And he's like, if there's no resurrection, just eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. That's literally what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. He's like, but there is a resurrection. He is coming back. He physically rose from the dead, and we will physically rise from the dead and live forever. You want to hear the rest? Check. Do you know that when Jesus died, it says in Matthew 27, you can read it later, I think it's 52, 53, verse 52, 53, Matthew 27. Jesus breathed his last. He died. And at that moment, many tombs were opened. And many righteous people who had died came to life and came out of their graves and walked around in the city and lived. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody dying in Huron? A criminal, no less. somebody dying in Huron, and all of a sudden it's like down at, you know, the tombstones are like 50 people come up out of the grave fully intact, and they walk around in the city. Can you imagine? Knock on the door Easter Sunday, you know. Uncle Bob? What? Is this a ghost? Am I seeing something? He's like, no, touch me. I'm alive. Like, what? How did this happen? Except this isn't a legend. This really happened. I mean, what kind of resurrection power is on this man? Why did that happen the moment he died? Because people who die putting their faith in God, they're just waiting for the gate to open when they're sprung forth. And as soon as the payment was made, they died by faith, the Messiah is going to come. He's going to make the payment. My sins are going to be forgiven. Boom! He breathed his last and died. Boom! Yes! And he goes around. Why? It was a sign from God to the people. This is the Messiah that just died. And he died not only to forgive their sins, but to free them from the consequence of sin, which is death. Not just a story. Look around right now. You can see people here. Just look around. You see all the physical bodies that are in here. Okay, listen. In the same way that you're seeing the people next to you, you, whether you believe it or not now, doesn't matter. You will see with your own eyes the resurrected Lord. And if it's like, oh, you know, you hear this message, and when something goes off on the inside of you, and you're like, hope abounds, and you want to jump out of your seat with happiness and joy, yes, it's real, it's real, it's real, it's real. Exactly, you're a believer. Because the Spirit bears witness to the truth. This is real, it's happening. And if there's something that's like, I don't know if I really believe that. Do I really believe that? I mean, you know, how many people say they're Christians in America? So many people, oh yeah, he rose from dead, okay. But do they believe it? Do they really believe it? Because it makes you fearless. And not only does it make you fearless, it makes you happy. Like, for real. Like, what are you going to do to me? Kill me. Make it quick. I just prefer not to be tortured. Just get it over with and let me be with Jesus. Another step. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, 28, 29, I believe. The time is coming. Going to read it. He says, do not be amazed at this. Listen, he says, for a time is coming when all, everybody say all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. That means you. That means me. It means all who have ever lived. Guess what? Well, I don't believe Jesus is real. I don't. You will. I promise you. You will see him. Well, if I could see him, then I'd believe. You wait till then, it's too late. It's like, well, that's not fair. How am I supposed to believe if I can't see? Because there's a Spirit of God. He bears witness to your spirit. Faith doesn't come when you, because you can see something with your eyes. God bears witness to the truth, and you choose to believe it or not. How many of you believe that Hitler is real? You never saw him. You never heard his voice except on recordings. You say, well, I saw recordings. Okay, let's go back farther. Pick anyone you want to in history. How about Martin Luther? He was real. You believe it? You don't doubt it? You never saw him? Yeah, I mean, you can go on and on with people. If Jesus is real, he's alive. Well, then how do we know that he is who he said he was? There's all kinds of good stuff out there if you want to read up on that. I don't want to change my sermon into that. But the bottom line is this. When you hear this story of the gospel, the Spirit bears witness and you know it's real and you have to choose. Everybody lives by faith every day in something. When you sit down, you have faith that chair is going to hold you up. You go in and you put your 40 hours in every week. In faith, there's going to be a paycheck in 2 weeks. On the right day, the paycheck's going to show up. Why do you have faith in that? Because you're just trusting, well, the guy who's employed me, he's rich. I think he's got the money in the bank, and I trust him that he's going to actually keep his word and do what he promised, that if I do this, he'll do this. Well, if we can trust a human being who's not always honest, why can't we not trust God? When God says, if you will turn from your sin and follow Jesus, I will forgive you, adopt you, fill you with the Spirit, restore you, and give you eternal life. Take him at his word. You got to trust, is his character worthy? Has he ever lied? No. And that scripture goes on. Everyone will hear his voice in the grave and they'll come out. Listen to this though. This is the kicker. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Whoa. You know, it's not just righteous people who are going to be resurrected. Every single human being is going to live forever. It's not just us who are going to have righteous people who are going to have physical bodies forever and ever and ever. Because the Bible says about those who are in hell that the worm that eats them, their flesh. You know, when you see a corpse die, even an animal on the road, and you leave it out there, what happens? You know, the maggots appear, and they start eating on its flesh. And people in hell, Jesus said this. He's not a liar. He says the worms that eat them will never die. Why? Because no matter how long they're there, it's an eternal punishment. It's not a certain amount of years, and then it finally ends, and they just cease to exist. No, they're going to live forever. We're all spiritual beings made in the image of the eternal God. We will live forever somewhere. In hell, they'll have physical bodies that will be in torment, in anguish, in the flames. It's literal. It's not just a spiritual torment. It will be a spiritual and emotional torment in hell. But it will be a physical torment forever and ever, is what the Bible says. You feel flames. Your body burns. That's physical. You guys with me? The resurrection. Those who love, we're all here. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We hear this message. It's good news because he can heal us and restore us to life. But if we don't believe it and we don't obey and do what he said, we're still dead in our sins. And if we're still dead in our sins, you're going to live forever. You're going to hear his voice. You'll rise to the judgment. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will live forever with him. Those who don't follow Jesus, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their sins are not forgiven. And they'll be in hell and torment forever and ever. I'm going to illustrate it like this, and then I'll be finished. You guys are doing good hanging with me. There's two groups of people on the planet right now. Only two. There are those who know Jesus and follow him. Their sins are forgiven because of his blood. The Holy Spirit lives in them. and they seek to honor him with their life. And then there's another camp. It's the rebel camp, and it's where everybody else on the planet is, living in according to their own selfish agenda, disobeying the commands of God, and they're in their sins. How many of you know the whole earth is the Lord's? People think otherwise, they're wrong. We actually don't own anything. I paid off my mortgage, I own my property. Not really. It's temporary. God owns it all. He's the king. And there's, right now, the whole earth is his, and in the kingdom, in his camp, there's rebellion entrenched in his camp, warring against him and those who are loyal to him. What does a good king do when there's rebellion in his camp? He snuffs it out with force. Takes the military, he catches the rebels, and he kills them. They're tried, they're convicted, guilty, dead. You guys with me? Except in the heart of God is not just justice, but it's mercy. And his preference would be to give us mercy. The crazy thing about God is that he actually loves those who are in rebellion against him, who hate him, who persecute his children that he loves. He loves them. In fact, all of us were one of them at one time. You guys with me? And this is what he does. He sends the word to the rebel camp. The king actually has a heart of mercy toward you. There's a day coming when he's going to return with the armies of heaven, and the rebellion in the earth will be permanently finished forever. He'll round up every demon, the Satan himself, and he'll round up all the people that were in rebellion against him. Every single one of them will stand before him as judge. There's books written about your life. You have no idea about every detail of your life is recorded in the book. The books will be opened. The evidence will be brought forth. Everybody will see that his judgment is just and it's accurate. The evidence will be overwhelmingly against you. Guilty, sin, and then will be put in hell forever with the devil and his angels. Except those who heard over here in the rebellion camp, oh, I'm doomed, I'm dead. There's no way to overthrow him. What am I going to do? Wait a minute. I just heard a rumor. I heard that the king actually loves you, and he's offering you mercy. And this is what he says. Leave the rebel camp, leave your rebellion, cross the line, and come back to him. Don't be afraid that when you do that, that he'll punish you and kill you. Because that would just make you run from him. You with me? Instead, repent. That means turn to him. Leave the rebellion. Come back to him. And this is what he'll do. He'll forgive your rebellion and all your terrorist treason acts. Every single one of them. He won't treat you like your sins deserve, giving you the death penalty. He'll forgive you more than that. He'll adopt you. That's a crazy offer. I mean, seriously. I'm just like, if all he did is, Jeff, I forgive you, you don't have to go to hell. Here, you can be a slave in my kingdom forever and ever and ever. You'll serve this good person over here. I'd be like, thank you. It's so much better than the worms eating on me and the pain of hell. You guys with me? Like, I'll take it. You know, I still get to eat good fruit in your kingdom. It's going to be awesome here. I mean, I'll be a slave. I'm cool with that. But he's like, no. That's not what we're going to do. Because I'm going to adopt you as my son. You're royalty now. You're part of the royal family that's going to be ruling the nations with me. Everything I have is yours. Oh my goodness. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit inside of you. Our relationship's going to be restored. I'm going to make you a new person. I'm going to take away. I'm going to break the addiction, the craving for sin that you had because you tasted it. I'm going to heal the addiction to sin, and I'm going to give you a new addiction. You're going to crave what is good and right. And I'm going to restore you fully. It's an amazing offer. So you're over here in the rebel camp. And you hear this good news. Now listen. If you truly believe it, what do you need to do? You better act on it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to go back. You're not going to repent. Guys, this is the gospel. What is, you guys know Robin Hood, right? Yeah, classic Robin Hood story. What happens? King Richard, good king. He's off out of the country on a journey. He puts another king to rule in his place, Prince John, right? Everybody say boo. Okay, Prince John is there. But Prince John is a bad man. Bad, bad man. And he's selfish. And what does he do? He's corrupt. So he uses his power to take advantage of people and to there's corruption and injustice all over the place. And he's oppressing those who are loyal to Richard. And he's like, you know what? I don't want Richard to come back. I like this power. And all who are loyal to Prince John are in rebellion against King Richard. But then there's the ones in the kingdom who are still, we're loyal to Richard, right? And they're persecuted by the guys in power. Does this sound familiar? They're persecuted, but they're like, we're even if we die, we're loyal to Richard. So what happens? Richard eventually returns to his kingdom. What does he do with the rebels? What does he do with Robin Hood and his merry men and all those who were loyal to him, even when it was tested and it cost them? What did he do? He rewards them and he promotes them to positions of authority in his kingdom. That's a parable of the kingdom of God. So the good news, you've heard it. Would you like to be in the kingdom of God? You know what to do. Everybody stand with me. The good news of the gospel is the good news about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his return. The bad stuff in the world is not going on forever. There's an end coming. Praise God. There's a new beginning coming. And you can experience your own personal new beginning with God now. Now. Everybody, just if you want to know God, you're saying, I want to stop living for myself and living in rebellion. I want to find out what God says. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do it. I want you to just pray to God right now. I'm just going to pray with you. Just say this to God. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're alive. That means you're listening to me. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive all my sins. And I believe you're coming back. And you're going to reward those who follow you. And you're going to punish those who stayed in rebellion. Forgive me. I leave my sin. Let your blood make me clean. Fill me with your spirit. Restore my relationship with you. I choose to live for you for the rest of my life. More, Lord, just come. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. God, just fill us with your presence right now. Whoa. Shamate. More, Lord. Just increase your presence. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Come in right now. Call forth the miracle of resurrection, new birth in every person who's believing you for it right now. Every person. Life. Live for Jesus. Shama. Thank you, God. In light of all this, check out this verse. Check out the meaning of this now. In light of all this we just talked about, the return, the resurrection. Ready? He who began this good work in you will complete it. That's awesome. That's so good. We're going to go to a baptism right now. And the Bible says, if you're going to follow Jesus, I just read it in Mark 16:15, whoever believes and is what? Baptized will be. So baptism is a requirement by God for all those, when we leave the rebellion, we get baptized into his family. You guys with me? And so I encourage you, we're going to pack up, take about 20 minutes or so here just to pick up all the chairs. And then we're going to go to the Super 8 Hotel on Dakota and just go into the pool area. Keep your kids with you. Don't let them run all over the place because people are paying to have rooms there and have it quiet. And so we'll do our best. And so, and then we'll do the baptism. If you want to be baptized, you haven't been baptized yet, and you want to follow Jesus, I encourage you to run home real quick, get your swimsuit and your shirt, and meet me there, and we'll go get baptized. That sound good? Okay. God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, amen.